Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, everyone, welcome to Nights of Power. Come on. Don't you believe that God's going to do something special tonight? How many are fasting and praying and believing God for some great things to happen? Come on, give it up for day three. Thank you, Jesus. We're praying for all those prayers on that prayer wall. If you haven't put your prayer up yet, please do so, because we are coming together on a daily basis believing God for miracles. How many believe that that's not a wall of just prayers, that their prayers are turning into miracles right before our eyes right now? Oh, yes. Well, tonight I'm so excited to minister to you, and just first and foremost want to give honor to my husband, Pastor Josiah Silva. Can we just give him some love? You know, sometimes he makes this look so easy, but it's not. But I'm just thankful for him. Thank you, honey. I can't see you in the dark. Are you there? Yes, he's over there somewhere. He's here somewhere. But but I'm just so honored because, you know, I'm blessed that we get to minister together, that we get to co-pastor together. But don't you be blindsided that I am a woman of authority, but I'm a woman under authority. And the only reason why I'm able to operate so fluidly in my authority is because I honor the authority that God has placed in my life. So I love you, Pastor Josiah. I love you, honey. You're an amazing man of God, an amazing pastor, an amazing leader. And I am honored to serve, build, and push forward with you. Thank you, honey. I love you. I love you. Well, last week he said that I'm the appetizer. He said, I'm the appetizer. My wife's coming next week. Well, honey, if you're the appetizer, then I'm the hors d'oeuvre. But I'm excited to minister to you now. I believe God has something really special to speak into your life and that you came expecting a word. Amen. Amen, amen. And Nights of Power, I love the scripture that says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because power is given to us by the Holy Spirit. So power is not something you earn, it's something you receive. And you receive it from the Holy Spirit. And I've learned that when you receive, you can receive from the Holy Spirit when you have close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's be a church that has close relationship with the Holy Spirit so that when power comes upon you, you're able to have a full grace in operating in it, because you know the source of your strength, the source of your power. Come on, let's give it up again for Nights of Power. I want to read to you tonight, for those of you who have your Bibles, go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Going Old Testament tonight. We're going to read verses 9 through 22, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. And I want to talk to you tonight about this particular man in the Bible who God used to build something quite extraordinary. And with this thing that God called him to build, it was for the purpose of saving mankind and all creation. Can you guess his name? Noah. Noah. And the Bible says that Noah was a righteous man and did everything the Lord asked of him. So once you have your Bibles, remain standing, reading of the Word of God. So we're starting with verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Let me say that again. He walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. You know, I want you to listen to these next couple of verses because I love reading when God is specific about something. Sometimes we could just bulldoze through these verses, but I just wanted to see how meticulous God was. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof for an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Let me tell you something, church. When God asks you to build something, there's a reason why He wants you to build it. When God asks you to do something that sounds ridiculous, there's a reason that's not ridiculous why He wants you to do it. So I'm going to bring the floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and for them. And then the wonderful verse 22. If that didn't sound all ridiculous enough, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. How many know that when God asks you to do something, it's because He knows you can do it? Come on. I want to minister to you a message I've entitled Built to Build. Come on, everybody say Built to Build. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for each and every builder that is in this house. Because if they're in this house, then they are called to build something great. I pray tonight, Lord, things be awakened, old things be gone, old things be washed away, Lord, by your word. And I pray just an ignite inside of them, a pure vision, God, of what this house is all about and what we are called to do with it. I pray, God, you put in our hands the tools we need, the mindset we need, the heart we need to build heaven on earth. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. Why don't you look to the person next to you and say, I'm a builder, as you take your seats. So ever sign yourself up for something that kind of overwhelmed you later? Yeah, I'm kind of infamous for those things, but this time it wasn't me, it was my husband. Hey, you know what? My husband, you put a Bible in his hands, he's amazing. You put a microphone in his hands, he's amazing. You put a hammer in his hands, a screwdriver, you know, he's great. He's good. You know, he's great. He's great. I love you, babe. You are amazing. Actually, since building this building, you've actually become a scale up from all that. So I love you. You've learned a lot. Well, prior to that, or during that, in the beginning of that, my husband and I had this great idea to get the kids outside the house and start playing outside more. How many parents have to be a little more strategic about how to get your kids outside of the house and not on iPads and iPhones and I this and I that, right? So we're like, we have a great idea. Best Christmas present ever. Not a dog. We're gonna get them a trampoline. Yes, and we were saying it quieter. We're gonna get them a trampoline, and you can picture Judah out there and Faith, and they're gonna be sweating and just drenched. They're not even gonna know it because they're gonna get exercise, but it's just gonna be camouflaged in pure fun. So we're gonna get them a trampoline. Great, order on Amazon, babe. Get a big one too. So my husband, he ordered a trampoline. The trampoline came. It had arrived as Amazon promised 72 hours later, 48 hours for those of you who have Prime. And it arrived in a big flat box. Big, heavy flat box with supposedly everything you need to make it what it's supposed to be, right? So, you know, this flat box, it's easy to desire something when you see the finished product. It's easy to order it when you see this big trampoline and you can picture everybody in it jumping around and having fun, but it arrived to our front door in a big flat box. And we opened it, and lo and behold, well, the kids opened it. We didn't give it to them assembled. You know, we just put a bow on it and waited. We tried to buy as much time as we could. So, so they open it, and of course, the next thing after Christmas is, well, are you going to build it? So I'm looking at my husband, Bob the Builder. You know, are you going to build it? So we open it, and lo and behold, what's the first thing you see when you open something in a big box? A big white manual that's about 20 pages long, right? With bold letters on the front that say, assembly required. Some assembly required. And let me tell you, my husband was not happy when we opened it and we saw all that styrofoam and things wrapped and a big bag of all these nuts and bolts that you have no idea are going to be used for anything. You know, it's just confusing you just looking at it. First of all, make sure you have the right tools, because it took us an additional 48 hours to get the right tool. We had to order it, which bought some more time. My husband was like, I can't do it without the tool. You got to order it. All right, you know. And second of all, YouTube makes things look a lot easier than they are. So after several days, hours, and calluses later on my husband's account, we practically wanted to quit on the job. But my husband continued on with it, thank you, Jesus, painfully, because he began the process with the end in mind, right? That to build this trampoline was still a good idea because the kids were gonna love it. So you're like building, the kids are gonna love it. I'm doing this because the kids are gonna love it. The kids are gonna love it. The kids are gonna love it. In other words, when you can visualize the final product, it adds purpose to the process. If only we can see with our spiritual eyes the things that God has for us when he calls us to build something. He sends us boxes to our doorstep that say assembly required. And we throw a fit sometimes because it's going to require hard work. But God is saying in that box is what you prayed for. In that box is what you've been asking me for. In that box is what you've been asking, seeking, and knocking for. In that box is special delivery just for you. But why are you throwing a fit that some assembly is going to be required? Because in order to operate in that blessing, you have to build this so I can build something in you. Let me tell you, what you are called to build will first build you. Lord, I want a better marriage. Assembly required. Lord, I want better children, better behaved children. Assembly required. I want a better job. Assembly required. I want more pay. Assembly required. I want to be in leadership. Assembly required. I want to pray more this year. Assembly required. I want to get married. Assembly required. I want to get healed of my bad attitude. Assembly is required. But just like Noah, he was called to build something that required much assembly. You see, in the scriptures we just read, God gave Noah specific instructions on how to assemble the ark. It wasn't an easy task. How would you feel if God knocked on your door one day and says, "Hi, can you build me an ark?" Okay. Did anybody hear that? Noah probably felt overwhelmed. He was probably looking around himself saying, okay, where am I going to get all that wood? You know, who's going to help me? Who's going to chop the wood for me? All I see is a bunch of forest trees, you know, and I don't think I've ever sawed anything before, or were saws even invented back then. Probably looking at his hands thinking, you know, am I capable of even accomplishing something like this? I mean, I said yes to God, but can I actually do it? I hope I don't disappoint the Lord. You know, sometimes we could feel like Noah probably did. Who, me? Looking around. Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? You know what I mean? It's like, sorry, I have kids. I had to throw it in there. Imagine him having to go back to his family that night. Well, what father knocks at the door? He barges in. Sorry, wrong analogy. comes inside. Oh, I can't whistle. I still can't whistle. Never mind. Somebody whistle for me. There we go. Someone give me a good whistle. Come on, like one of those. There you go. All right. That's what I'm talking about. He goes, hey. Get over here, everybody. Come on, we're having a family meeting right now. Everybody, come on. Get in the living room. Come on. Everybody in. Come on, you too. Pedro, you too. Come on, you too. Everybody in. All right, listen. Everybody sit down for this. God spoke to me. His wife's probably looking at him like, okay. And he told me, how do I put it? He told me to build a big boat. Okay. And no, like I'm talking massive, like a massive boat, like bigger, you know, not just for the family. I'm talking for the world. Okay. And God's gonna flood the earth. Okay. When's that happening? And every male and female, like, creature and bird is just going to go right in. And everybody is going to drown, but we're going to survive because there's going to be a big flood, and it's going to rain, a lot of rain, like a deluged amount. And I want y'all to come with me. I mean, just imagine that conversation. Of trying to convince your children, who already think you're probably crazy a little bit, mom and dad, that you heard from the Lord to build something absolutely ridiculous. I think sometimes we bulldoze over those scriptures like, oh, okay, God told Noah to build the ark. Noah and the ark, Noah's ark. I mean, yeah, duh. But back then, it wasn't like that. It was like, what did God tell you? Why is he doing this? All my friends are gonna die? What? You're crazy. And men, can I talk to the men real quick? It takes a lot, men, to lead your home. But if you don't, then no ark will be built. And no one will be saved. Can I talk to the women real quick? Women, come on, where are my ladies at? It takes a lot to lead with the strength of the Lord. It takes a lot to speak with authority. But if you don't, then no one will build your ark. And your children won't be saved. You see, the task of the ark was greater than Noah. Which leads me to my first point on how to be building minded. My first point, know that if it's greater than you, then it will build you. If it's greater than you, then it will build you. And Ephesians 3:20 from the Living Bible says, now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. Let me stop right there. Now glory be to God by his mighty, my mighty power, my strength, my ability, my intellect, my logic, my own calling and will? No. By his mighty power at work within us is able, everybody say able, to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond. That's the word. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You see, God will empower you to go beyond the you are today. I call it the call gap. The gap between the call and you. will be filled. See, the gap between the call and you will be filled by the Spirit of God, will be filled by the Holy Spirit until you grow into the person that can fill that gap. Then God will send you on your next. And guess what? There's going to be another call gap. Are y'all catching that tonight? The call gap. If it's greater than you and God asked you to do it, then you can do it. There will always be a gap, and God is faithful in filling if you're faithful in obeying. God will call you to something bigger than yourself. The size of God, listen to this, the size of God's call isn't matched with who you are today, but the size of your obedience today. The size of God's call isn't matched with who you are today. That's why it sounds ridiculous. But it's matched with the level of your obedience today. And God is faithful and fills the gap between your limitation and crazy. And when you build for Him, when you build for the Lord, oh, it's so special, isn't it? When you build for the Lord, second point, know that you're not done. You've just begun. When you build for Him, know that you're not done. You've just begun. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Amen. Give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. Now let me ask you a question. Some of us have considered this building done because we're able to occupy it, because we're in it, we're functioning in it. But we're not done. We've just begun. We've just begun to scratch the surface on what God is gonna do here. We've just begun to be able to see the possibilities of what God can do with a building that we've been sowing and praying and reaping for now. Unknowingly, though, we can think that in our lifetime we can accomplish perfection. Why do I say that? Because perfection is completion. And we run the danger that because God has worked in and through us, we can have a tendency to wipe our hands and walk away saying, "I finished, I'm done." But it's not finished. It's not done until Christ returns. Until He comes back. It says right here in Philippians 1:6, it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And guess what? Jesus hasn't come back yet, but He's gonna come back. And guess what we're gonna be doing? Listen, I don't wanna be caught with my hands up. I don't wanna be caught in sin. I don't wanna be caught doing my own thing, building my own thing. I wanna be caught building the house of God. I wanna be caught being obedient. I wanna be caught saying, "Yes, Lord, what's next? What do you want me to do? Here I am, Lord. Send me." That's what I want to happen when Jesus returns. I want to be the one that is in line saying, "He's here and I'm ready." Thank you, Lord. That when you build something, the purpose of what you built has just begun. You know, interestingly, we can feel that arrival means done. On the contrary, it is not time to be done because, like I said, it has just begun. If you could just get that ingrained in you about this house, about what God wants to do here, about what God wants to do in your life, about what God wants to do in your marriage, about what God wants to do in your children, it is not done. You've just begun. My children are growing up in this house. There's a lot of beginnings that are taking place. I'm not done raising my children yet. The process has just begun every season that comes over. Being done-minded leaves no room for growth, leadership, training, equipping, working, or passion. You see, the night that Pastor found out that this building was 100% done, or able to be occupied, when he found out this building was 100% able to be occupied, did you know that he could barely sleep 3 days? I was like exhausted. I'm like, "Whoa, that was like a whirlwind. I'm going to bed." And he was like, wired on his computer, researching, praying, believing God, because he wasn't done-minded. He knew the greatest task of it all has just begun. That he just dropped one tool and picked up another. You see, builders have hearts for houses. But God is just looking for those who have a heart for his house. A heart for his house. You see, builders are investors. They're full of vision, purpose, and they're prophetic because they can see things before they're built. Noah was a builder. He visualized what God called him to build, and he built it. Imagine that when Noah finished the ark. I built it. Yes. And his wife probably said, "That's my man." You see, builders don't just visualize the completed work. They visualize the reason why it even exists. Don't just be satisfied that we are in the building. What's more important is, what are we going to do with the building? Oh, I need to hear a better amen than that, because what we're going to do with the, you want me to tell you what we're going to do with the building? I'm talking about your moms and dads. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the lost, the hurting, the broken, the pain, the abused. The fear ones, the people that are filled with anxiety and depression, the ones who want to commit suicide. I'm talking about your future sons and daughters. I'm talking about after they've been through the mud a little bit, they're going to come to this altar. They're going to come to this house. They're going to come to the place that you have your fingerprints on. And they're going to say, "I'm going to what my mom and dad built, because Jesus is in that place." I want to tell you right now that Freedom House is a building that has purpose. It's a building that exists for you and yours and the future and generations to come. Point number three. Know this. That I am built to build. I am built to build. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, God is looking for Noahs. He's looking for builders. Because Genesis 6:9 says, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time." The people of his time, in his generation. And it wasn't easy then. It wasn't easy then either. Don't think that just because it was a long time ago that it was better than it is right now. No, it was violent. It was corrupt. It fed up God. It was terrible. And he was a righteous man. And he walked faithfully with God. God is looking for someone he can trust to build his work here on earth. Who built the ark? Noah. But who built Noah? Who built the ark?
Noah.
But who created, built, and called Noah? God did. God did. And God is looking for you to rise up and say, "I'm created in the image of God. And he built me for good works, to do great things. I am his masterpiece. I am his handiwork. And if he created, then he has called me to do the same. And I'm going to build right. I'm going to build with purpose. And I'm going to use these hands not to tear down, but to build up. God created me. I didn't come from a monkey. I didn't come from this place or that place. I didn't just appear one day. God created me. And I am faithful to be who God created me to be. You were created in his image, so it's in you to be a builder. It's in you to be a builder. It's in you to be a builder. And I'm not just talking about brick walls and mortar. I'm talking about it's in you to build a good marriage. It's in you to build strong children for the kingdom of God. It's in you to bring up world changers. It is in you to build this house. How am I on time? 6 minutes. I'm going to skip this part. Okay. I want to say this. You have not truly lived until you live the life that God has planned for you. You have not truly lived. I've seen a lot of successful people unsettled. Because you have not truly lived until you live the life that God has planned for you. And what you didn't accomplish in your youth, you will accomplish in your older age. Let God build you back up. Let him raise you up once again. You see, Acts says that God raised up David. And raised up is the same word that's used. In the Hebrew, it means egiro, which means something that was once lifeless and dead has become alive again. It has become awakened to stand, to take up. Jesus said, I have raised up for myself David. And listen to this. It is the same word used in Acts 13:30 that describes Jesus being raised from the grave. Before you say you are incapable of building Freedom House, before you say you can't fulfill the work of God in your life, before you say you can't, won't, shouldn't, or couldn't, or wouldn't, I'm here to prophesy to you in Jesus' name that a gyro is about to happen in your life, that you're about to be raised up. Come on, like I said, some of you in your older age, oh, you say, I can't build because I was disobedient back then, or I didn't build it back then. Oh, a gyro's gonna happen in your life. A gyro's gonna happen in your life, because when God raised up David, that was the same power he used to raise up Jesus from the grave, and the same power that is in Jesus is in me. When you know that you were created to build, listen to this, every other opportunity to build something else pales in comparison. When you know what you were created to build, every opportunity to build something else other than what God asked you to do will always pale in comparison. Because calling points you in the direction you're created for, while opportunity points you to what you're capable of. Remember the call gap. It'll always sound bigger than yourself, but opportunity will always fit just right. Never confuse capability over calling. Capability can distract you from what you're called to. You see, pastor is capable of doing real estate, owning businesses, and building other things. But he was created. He can do a lot of things. He's a very talented man. And I'm a talented woman for being married to you. I'm very wise. I said yes. Ladies, wisdom. Hallelujah. Okay? But he was created to build a house for the Lord in the unique way that God gave him instructions on how to do it. He said, Josiah, I want you to build me a house this many cubits high, this many cubits wide, and this many cubits thick. I want you to build it and do this and do that, and I want you to stretch yourself there and stretch yourself there. And he just said, okay, I'm going to do it, but not knowing that it was way bigger than himself at the moment. But he stepped into it because God filled that crazy gap. Your calling will always stretch you further than what you're capable of. And you're capable of doing many things that draw from what you were mainly created to build. In closing, Genesis chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. If you could all turn there. It says, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. God is saying this. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you and you will enter the ark. He's talking to Noah. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Let me tell you something, Freedom House. When you build what God has called you to, guess what? your family can come too. I don't think you heard me, but when you're faithful and obedient to build what God has called you to do, your family can come with you. Your children, your spouses, your future, your generation, your legacy, they can come too. They can ride on your obedience. They can ride on your favor. They can ride on your yes. They can ride on your faith. They can ride and they can be saved from the catastrophe. They can be saved from the storm. They can be saved from the hand of the enemy. All because you said yes. I am a builder. 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 And I will build God's house. Give them praise. Give them praise. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Give them praise for your children right now. Give them praise for your grandchildren right now. Give them praise for your legacy right now. Give them praise because right now you're saying yes. Right now you're picking up your tool. Right now you're taking another step. Right now you're tearing away all the old stuff that you can't take with you anymore. And you're saying, I gotta go forward to what God has called me to build.
Thanks for tuning in. We pray you're encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.